question, fresh, new question?
On the floor. No, I just want to know in general, like, why were the Midianites had to be destroyed?
Okay.
Because, obviously they got the Jews involved in Avodah Zarah, but that was out for, really. I mean, they didn't go around killing everyone who was an idol worshiper.
Oh, the Jews did. You mean all the nations?
Yeah. I mean, why specifically did they have to, kill, were they commanded to kill all the Midianites?
All right, that's fair. Well, where's the source there?
I have to look it up.
It's in Matos, right?
Yeah.
I'll follow.
All right, let's let me off. That's a good question. The Kol Nikmas B'nai Yisrael Me'eis HaMidyanim. Achal Teyosef HaMecha. Again, Moshe, Alam Leimor, Echol Tzimitzam. Hold it a second. Is there an explanatory B'nichwayim? Where does the guy say that... Where's that pasuk? Is that in Pinchas where the Torah and the Midyanim he sees them all some? Kitzarim heim lachem b'nechleim as nikul lachem adzar tor. The adzar kazi v'asasim Midyan achosim amuka.
Where is he?
What?
Where are you?
That's in Pinchas. In Pinchas, God gives the command to. To afflict. Interesting term, sorrow.
Okay.
Sorrow is in the gun.
Okay.
Doesn't say to destroy them.
That's on. As a Midianites.
What is that supposed
and
to
be? Smite them.
Well, if you're going to smite them,
Right.
That seems to be, she said, that's a good question altogether. Why two different ideas?
And Moab seems to get away scot-free.
Who?
Moab was the one that did the Avera with the Balfour. Chafei Aleph.
Hold on 1 second. Chafei Aleph.
Yeah, it is a Rashi there. Look at Rashi Yud Ches.
See Yud Ches. And the article translates harass. All right, that's not a bad word. The Midianim, they seize them, some, and smite them. The other thing is, if you're going to smite them, you're going to smite them. So what was the Sivui? The Sivui was to kill them. He saw Ramen Lacham because. They harass you on the same thing. The Nechleihem, I said, Niku Lechem Alzar Pa'or. By Yisnaku Amiso. It's the same term it's used by the brothers of Yosef. That is, to conspire, to seek for ways. The Nechleihem, I said, Niku Lechem Alzar Pa'or.
But it was Moab, it wasn't Midian.
What do you mean it was Moab, it wasn't Midian?
In Chafei Aleph.
Chafei Aleph? Go back to Chafei Aleph?
Yeah.
Vayachom Bilam? What are you talking about? Vayachis Oshim Vayachom Luznos Elbenos Moab.
Right.
How did they work that out? I'm not, what's the, don't they explain that? The Moab and the Midianim were working together, no? Vayachom Luznos Elbenos Moab. Yeah, I'm sure they worked it out.
And Balak was from Moab, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Rashi says that they didn't destroy Moab because of Rus was destined to come from here.
Yeah.
That's
where
not
does Rashi say that?
That's in...
also because of Lot.
Where does Rashi say that?
This sort, I think it's in Yud Ches. Yud Ches. Yeah, Yud Ches. Ki Tzorim Heim Lachem Begomer Al Dvar Pa'or. Chof Hei Yud Ches.
Yeah, that was the whole plan.
Another question.
It's a became Hefker, abandoned themselves to Yud. Because he said, Ar, Dray, after four, that's more of low people are hot to they root. So he says, you need a lot of things for him. Okay. All right, fine. Now, that's like one of those answers that, you know, it makes sense at a certain level, but it really is problematic also. Because Ruth was destined. It's a strange idea. They deserve to be punished. They deserve to be punished.
Well, there's another shot also.
Yeah, what's that?
That because of Ruth. Because Lot didn't tell Abimelech about, or Paro about Abraham and Sarah.
Yeah, it's also, all these things are problematic.
He was rewarded that the two nations, Ammon and Moab, wouldn't be destroyed.
Well, whatever, you still have to explain that, what kind of thing that is.
I'm just saying.
That's something that, you know, you see a lot of people, I understand, a lot of people say, okay, that's the answer. Yeah, it's an answer, but it doesn't mean we really understand it, because... You can find similar situations. What does one thing have to do with the other? And what kind of promise is that? And where's the... But, you know, that's a bigger issue. That's not what we're going into. That's a separate issue.
Right.
You know, how are we supposed to understand these things? That we've seen that both people did the same thing, both were guilty, but just because of an accident, they're ancestors. Okay. So we have to try and maybe we won't understand it. Who knows? But what's the difference? That's not the main, again, that's not the main issue here. We want to understand, what do you want to understand? Why they were punished.
Yeah, huh? why they have to kill them.
What were they supposed to do?
Well, I mean, the Jews obviously weren't perfected. I mean, and they got involved with idolatry, so they were...
Well, the Jews were punished.
Yeah, I'm saying they were killed. They had, I don't know, 24,000 were killed. So it wasn't like they were going out anyone who was worshipping idolatry at the time and killing anyone who was worshipping idolatry.
So
they were supposed to...
That's the whole story
of Yeshua,
that they took over and then they destroyed
all the Avodah
Zarah.
Anyone with Avodah Zarah?
Destroyed
anyone
with
anyone who tried
Avodah Zarah? Yeah. They were able to take over Canaan before they couldn't take it over because their Avera wasn't to the fullest extent. And afterwards, when it became to the fullest extent, the Jews came in and they were supposed to destroy them. And that's part of the reason we got destroyed, punished was because we didn't fulfill the. And you know, Yeshua, it says that they left pockets. And afterwards, an Avera.
On here, I don't know if I can go through the whole thing. That's on your chest. I want to be Ramban. What is the problem? That they caused the Jews to, you know, to this was a serious attack. If a nation attacks the Jews and seeks to destroy them, it's similar. It's interesting. It's very similar to Amalek. It's similar to Amalek because of the term Sarah. Ki Sarah Nehem Lachem. Rashi on Sarah is Hamigyanim. The Rashi is Kamo Zachar. The term Sarah is like remember. Shamar. Shamar is also an expression of guarding, which means to remember. So it means to store up. Lashon.
Hove
Aleichem La'ayev, yes, La'ayev. That is to say, it's an expression of Eva to retain a certain state of enmity. Eva Ashes, they mean, like God says with regard to the snake, that there's a perpetual enmity, like a certain type of adversarial relationship. That's an interesting thing, because basically it should have simply said, they keep them, you know, smite them. Well, what is this? Remember, it means that you're supposed to retain a certain attitude towards them, a negative attitude, adversarial, a hostile, to be hostile to them. That's the question. Then it says Kisarim Hem Lacham, which seems to be the reason. They had a certain enmity to you. It's also strange. It should have said, because of what they did. B'nechleihem asher niklu lachem al dvarcha. So where the real reason for what's taking place is what they did. Clearly, what happened wasn't an accident. It wasn't a matter that it was the fault of the Jews. In that sense, of course it is the fault of the Jews. The Jews are punished. But it wasn't at the behest. It's not as though the Jews decided to go astray and they started in with these girls. That's not the case. As we've learned, this was a deliberate policy. And it was a strategy. So, in that sense, it's their fault. They initiated a strategy which was a very strange kind of strategy, to destroy the Jews by seduction. For that, they had to be punished. There's no question about that. I don't have a problem with that. It would be akin to Amalek, except Amalek operated differently with physical means to try and physically destroy the Jews. Here they were trying to destroy the Jews in a different way and in a more serious way. That's why you have to strike back at them. There's no question about that. I don't see any problem with that. The fact that the Jews succumbed in many instances, the fact they were successful in seducing them, that doesn't rescue them. That doesn't make them any better. But I don't have any problem that they were commanded to retaliate against them. I'm just a little bit curious over here, the way it's expressed. I said, Nikola Chem al Dvarpar, the al Dvar Kuzbi. Mentions both of them as though the matter of Kuzbi was a separate thing. By the way, this confirms the way we learned Shad, that the matter of Kuzbi was a new thing. As it was, the story was unfolding, and they had the Magefa, and God commanded Moshe to set up the Botegim and judge the idol worshippers. Then, suddenly, this man came, and we said that was a separate incident, which had a completely different effect, and that had to be dealt with separately. The pasuk separates the Dvar Kuzbi now from the situation. Okay. So now let's get. I'm not sure exactly what the question is, though. In a general sense, there's nothing troubling over here. Why they have to deal with them? Is that the question? Why? What? Just ignore them, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, but you said basically they wanted to
defend them, though. Yeah. You started off by defending them and said, look, if the Jews sin, the Jews should just clean up their own houses. They don't have to punish, retaliate against those who caused them to sin. No, I'm saying no, that they do have to. Unless you want to ask why they have to retaliate. But if that's the case, are you going to get asked the same question, I suppose, with Amalek, any enemy of the Jew? Why do they have to retaliate? Is that the question? I want to make sure I know what the question is.
No, you asked the question. Basically, they wanted to, the whole philosophy of life, they wanted to destroy, that's all.
I would try and understand, though, what's this whole idea of Sorim? And what's this whole thing, B'nechleihem? Why not just simply say that, smite them? Bear in mind also that there's a whole backdrop over here. You've got to go back to the Rambam in terms of the idea of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. That the Rambam says that all Gentiles, any Gentile society, does not automatically have a right, so to speak, to exist. The Torah maintains that the basic right to exist is contingent upon accepting the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, the Noahide laws. And the Rambam says that any guy, any Gentile that does not accept it is basically Chayav Misa, is liable to death penalty. On that basis, he justifies what the Shimon and Levi did against the city of Shem, that they killed them. That was a big question because anybody reading the story would raise the question, okay, in terms of Shechem, in terms of his father, that they were involved in the kidnapping. They were holding hostage the daughter of Yaakov, Adina. But all right, so you can say that they were liable. They could have been killed. But the other, the remain, they killed out the whole town, the whole city. And they weren't involved in this conspiracy. So how did they do that? The basic answer over there that the Rambam gives, I mean, there's a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban. But they both agree on one thing, that even though it was controversial, even though Yaakov disagreed, apparently Yaakov didn't know what they were planning to do. I hear background noise. Is it possible to...
Yeah. All right, they were told.
Thank you. In that situation, they both agree that the people that they killed were Chayav Misa. And the argument of Yaakov was not that they had acted contrary to the halacha that pertained at that time. But rather, he held that it was the wrong thing to do for practical considerations, or other considerations, whatever, there's a Ramban there. But they both agree that the people were liable. And the Rambam maintains that he had to do with that particular situation. Because one of the sins, one of the mitzvahs of Noach is theft, which would also include kidnapping. They were guilty for kidnapping. The remainder of the town were guilty in not enforcing the law. But the Rambam holds that one of their obligations is to enforce the Noahide laws by setting up a court system. And if they fail to do that, then that also renders them liable to the death penalty. He says that they all knew, they saw, and they let him do it. And by not preventing it, they themselves became liable. The Ramban disagrees, because he holds that they have an obligation to enforce, but the failure to do that is not considered a violation of one of the seven that would render them liable to the death penalty. But he says, there's no problem over here, because we know the way the Torah describes the inhabitants of Canaan, that they were all steeped in idolatry, in promiscuity, whatever it is. Kamasei Eretz Yisrael, or Kamasei Eretz Canaan, Losasu, that they were involved in sexual abominations and so on and so forth. So the Torah makes it very clear, and that's the reason why they were no longer entitled to the land, that there was no injustice. Kiloshilem Avon Hamori, Arasa, that God informed Abraham that eventually the Jews would take over the land, but that would be when the nations that inhabited it were guilty, had exhausted every possibility of tshuva, so it was absolute justice. It wasn't that God was just saving the Jews and kicking out the other people from their land. That's a very strong answer. So the Ramban says that shows you that the people there were on the level where they were liable to the death penalty because they weren't keeping the Noahide laws. But if that's the case, the only thing is, the argument was that just because they're in that state, that doesn't mean that you have an obligation to go and kill every Gentile and start up with every Gentile nation because of this. So that's what Yaakov's argument was. And Yaakov's argument was that it wasn't the right thing to do. And maybe, I think he indicates even that since they had agreed to circumcision, there was a chance to win them over to the true ideas, so there's a greater criticism. Shot, the criticism seems to be that it's going to cause danger, that the surrounding peoples will come and attack them when they hear what they did. Now, as far as this case is concerned, I don't have a problem, because it's clear that these people were deserving of death for what they did. You see, two things. First of all, they were involved in the worship of Pa'or. So that's a Avodah Zarah. So they're Chayav Misa for that. That's strike one. The second thing is that they sought to seduce the Jews into Avodah Zarah through the medium of harlotry. So that's strike two. Therefore, it's quite legitimate to retaliate. Of course, one can ask, is there anything more to it than just that? Simplistically, like, sort of, so to speak, revenge. You did this to us, we'll get back at you. Or was there a bigger point here? That's the question we should seek to focus on. Is it just a case where, you know, they attacked the Jews and we struck back? Just enforcing the law. Which is true. I mean, I have to say, you can't allow people to brazenly violate the mitzvot and then not punish them. That would apply to Jews. The Rambam says that whenever someone is chayiv nisa according to the law, according to halacha, so it's a mitzvah bezin to execute. You can't just ignore it. It's not just that he's chayiv, you have a chiyuv to execute the laws. So that would be the same thing over here.
Right,
but, or is it more than that?
Right then?
Yeah.
Also, it's interesting that when B'nai Yisrael actually went to war with Midian,
yeah,
they didn't kill the instigators, which were the women. And Moshe got very upset. He was Vayiktov on all B'nai Yisrael.
Yeah, that's true. That's really studying. Let's take a look. What was that here? Vayiktov. Ketta. Where's that?
It's Laman Aleph. Pasuk Yudalit.
Laman Aleph. Yeah, Pekudei Hachayel. Vayikra don't get it. Sorry, I love them. Haboy mitzvah mocham vayyom alayim Moshe hachayisim kol mekeva. He says, Vayishku b'nei Yisrael m'shein Midyan, v'yastapam. It's called the Hemtam, 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 it's the come nick must be made from the Asam Yanam. Achatea Sivalamecha. I just happened to just know that. I mean, like, what's the connection? Achatea Sivalamecha. It's a funny expression. I mean, what does that have to do with the idea? Afterwards, say, I say.
That's his last command.
I'm sorry? Well, yeah, but what do I have to know that? I mean, just tell me in the comments, Nicholas Mays, no, that's it. Then we'll see what happens. Then it comes time. Here it's part of the communication. Then say, I say. Like, well, you know, what does it have to be that way? Well, Aturim said something interesting. He took up on this point. Acha Teyotei. The Tisha Roa Maisa and the Giannis, he says, because he saw the deed of the Midianites, that's the Kazi. Look, he named Hashem, and he did not act zealously for God. He's sort of pinpointing the fact that Moshe did not do what Pinchas did. Therefore, his life was contingent upon the Nekama. What does that mean? I mean, that's like an extension of your life. Right? Achate Yosef.
I think Rashi gives the opposite shot.
It was Rashi? Where's Rashi? Vahe Samajanam?
No, he says that in contradistinction to Yahushua, who was lax in his last command, Moshe Rabbeinu did it right away.
No, that doesn't contradict the Baal Turim.
No.
That's just to show that he carried out vigorously. But he's saying.
Yeah, but he's saying it's like the Baal Turim saying it's like a punishment.
No, he's saying that it's not a punishment.
In other words, there's a lack of perfection, and that's it.
No, you can't.
You saying that?
Yeah, but he's talking about the lack of perfection in not doing anything. He stood by. Interesting idea, by the way. I mean, it doesn't hurt. You know, to notice certain things that, you know, everybody partakes of this. Everybody always feels that, always people in general are more afraid to do something if they're not sure. You know, like doing harm, just standing by. Person just stood by, didn't do anything, then they don't feel as guilty because I didn't do anything. You know, there's a lot of stuff, you know, that people should protest. But I'm not going to mix in this and that. You know, like there's a certain resistance and there's a certain guilt that I'm mixing in this and that. As though...
I don't want to cause waves.
Yeah, as though doing nothing, well, that's a safe haven. You know, I can go back to the safe haven. But you see, there's no safe haven. If the situation is one which demands that you do something, then the not doing something is not a safe haven. You know, you stand by in the face of the Chol Hashem because of all these social factors, that's very serious about it. If you could stop it, if you could prevent it. That's something which Yadis maintains, that it's not just that you have an obligation to do things, you also have an obligation to prevent certain things. And it's not just sinful to do the wrong thing, it's also sinful to stand idly by. And it's all part of Los Amos, Aldan Meyecha. So even Moshe Rabbeinu, I mean, according to the Baal Turim, so you see, though, that there's another thing over here. It's a very interesting point that he's making, and that is that if a person is lax, when a person is lax in something, so then there's a sin, but there is a very significant thing that a person can do, so to speak. That's a fundamental of the Torah, that a person could be mistaken. That in terms of the path to tshuva, we believe in tshuva. Tshuva is a big thing. That means to say that God created the world in such a way that a person can be mistaken and correct. And correct his own misdeed. Now, of course, we think of tshuva primarily in terms of on Hashem, where a person comes before God and pleads. But there's a whole other dimension of tshuva, obviously. That's the dimension of tikkun. The dimension of tikkun means that, you know, it's the stocking in the action. For example, you have mitzvahs like that. You see that that's a significant pattern. The very mitzvah of, it's called la hanitak lase. That a la hanitak lase is not, you're not chayav malchus. You chayav malchus basically for los asay, which involve action. But a la hanitak lase, it means that that's a whole discussion in the Gemara, in Makos, what exactly is a lav hanitak lase. You know, because there are many lavim that are connected in one way or another to an asay, to a positive. Simplistically speaking, on a simple level, that a person steals money. Or theft, there's nothing money, any kind of theft. So, what's the asay? The Heishiv is Hagzeva Shegozal. So, what does that mean?
It's a fixer-upper.
Obviously, you have to return the Gezel. It doesn't belong to you. But it's a mitzvah say. So it's more than just any time you have somebody else's property, you have to give back. It doesn't leave without Gezel. But it means to say that there's a mitzvah, and that's nitzak lase. So that lo sase, it's not just that as a result of a lo sase you have an ase. I mean, that's a halakhic discussion. Yeah, for example, like nosar, you know, lo siru in certain kabbanos, you're not going to leave the meat over until the morning. And by nosar, then you start fish, and anything that was, if you violated the law, and you did leave over the meat, so then you have to burn it, it's an ase. Yeah, there's many cases like that. Lav anitek lase. But in this particular case, it's not just that it brings about an assay, but rather the assay is metaking the los assay. It has the effect of a tikkun. It, you know, it removes the stigma, or it corrects it. It's a negation of the avera. So that's why it doesn't have malchus to it, because the story is not over, so to speak. As long as a person has the ability to do the essay. Now there's different, again, you have to go through the all different kinds of positions, how it works. But you see that that's a very significant idea. I guess a person, you have to do it carefully, can apply it to his own particular situation, that if a person was involved in a certain avera, or whether it's through action, or maybe through inaction, that he said, when you do tshuva, so then one should seek out the possibility of a tikkun, to be mesaken in the situation. to correct it by, yes, you have to understand what the possibilities are, but that's an important concept. So, you see in the story itself about the Baal Peor, and a major sub-theme, not so subtle, it's a major theme, is the failure of the leader, the tolerance aspect of the leader. That's why the Pusik, as we said, the Pusik on a plain level, God tells Moshe to take the leaders and hang them. And we know that that's not the way it's supposed to be understood halachically. You take the leaders and have them appoint but they deem him, etc., etc. But the reason why it's written that way is to communicate the idea that they're liable, that it's the fault of the leader. And then you see the whole idea of Pinchas, that Pinchas ben Allah Heshiv et Hamasi Bekano et Kinasi, that was the whole machaper, was when, you know, Pinchas, the leader, stood up against these people, was able to overcome that emotion. That's a significant thing. The weakness of the leader, the big problem with leadership, you see that time and time again, is it's a falsification. There's something that's essentially false, and people don't want to acknowledge. You see it now in America today, that all the people that run for office and all of them that want to be leaders, they have this myth that they're really public servants. It's a myth. I mean, it's completely ridiculous. And why do you want to be the president? Because you want to serve the public, and then you want to... That's absolute nonsense. If you want to serve the public, you don't have to be the president. There's plenty of things you can do. Plenty of ways you can help. You can go to hospitals, and you can help the needy. You know, all these things, all these glorified things that they want to do. And so on and so forth. And what happens if you're defeated and you don't get elected? Then he goes back to his regular lifestyle, whatever. Why aren't you helping the public? There's plenty of things you can do. That's the reason why you have so much corruption, because once these people are elected, it's essentially they want to serve themselves. It's completely egotistical. The very fact that a person is seeking office is itself the biggest disqualification, because it's egotistical. He wants power and he wants recognition. And the truth is that the people are a means to his own gratification. And bottom line, if it's a choice between his welfare and the welfare of the country, believe me, his own welfare comes first. That's how most of these politicians are. So that's why it's a defect, because given that that's the case, that he wants the popularity, so he always wants the approval of the people. And to the extent that a person needs the approval of the people, to that extent he really can't do what's objectively correct. That's the big problem. That's a very powerful emotion that plagues virtually all leaders, and that's the whole thing with the Meraglim too. Even though they were great men. That's the whole story with Zimri. Akon Rashi says that the people of his tribe came to him. They were being judged. And they said, "You're standing by, we're being judged on Nisan, you're not going to do anything about it." They pressured him. So apparently, under that pressure, he went ahead and he did his deed. He rebelled. So this seems to affect everybody. And that was the greatness of Pinchas, that Pinchas really had no consideration whatsoever for the will of the people, and his only consideration was Kavod Shemayim. That's it. That was his personal. That became like his personal thing. And that was the kina, the zealous, and I impose them both. So according to the Baal Turim, that's the same thing over here, in a sense, that the Moshe Rabbeinu, since he did not do that, he also partook of this, so now it's essential to do tshuva. The tshuva is to punish them. By punishing them, you're standing up against this, and you're confronting it, and you're obliterating it. So that's overcoming the mistake. You can't just say, "Okay, I was wrong," and so on and so forth. As long as there's something that can be done about it to demonstrate the evil of it and what should be done to it, then you have a personal chiyuv to do it. The chiyuv becomes yours. And that's a sequence. I mean, interestingly enough, you see that same idea. There's a thread that runs through. That same idea, the responsibility that when the people sin, there's always a responsibility on the leaders, and the leaders have to do tshuva. You see that by the Eglah Arufa, you know, when they find their body and they can't identify the murderer. They can't discover the murderer, so then they have the whole Eglah Arufa, and the Zikne Ha'ir have to say, Yadeinu Hashem, Samazah. So we didn't do this. We didn't do this. It means we weren't lax in our responsibility.
Rabbi, to,
establish the, you know, property protection and so forth.
Rabbi,
but that's only when the murderer isn't found. The murderer is found, they don't have to do this. Why? Because the fact that they're engaged in the prosecution, that's the kafara. That shows that they're really confronting the problem. Yeah, go ahead.
I think also about the Imo Shel Kohen Gadol.
And what?
When he dies, so then the people in the Ari Mikvah go free.
Yeah.
So she prays, gives them food, to pray for his welfare.
Right.
So I think it says because if he was on a higher level, that type of murder Vishogeg wouldn't happen.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons it's put down, that he was supposed to be Mispalo and he wasn't. Okay. You're right, he was supposed to be Mispalo and he wasn't.
No, I'm saying that's the same idea of the leader.
Right. I agree.
Oh.
1 second. So now, with that in mind, what's going on over here? Why do you get angry? Hold on a second. Was that the command to kill all the women?
There was no explicit command to who to kill.
Yes, Machem Midyan Hargu, Achalayim. Yes, Bilam Ben Ba'or. You see? That clearly includes Bilam in the whole plot. Hayishtu Lash Mishay Midyan. Hayishtu Lash Mishay Midyan. Yes, Tapan, Yes, Kobe Hemdom. Yes, Kobe Rehem. Sarfu. Yes, Kobe Shalom. Yadiru Al Moshe. That became the thing. So, did you go through
the next pasuk also?
So what's the solution? There's a lot of stuff here. Yeah. So they didn't kill the women, right? They didn't kill the women. Moshe Rabbeinu got angry at them, and then he made a differentiation between those who knew men. What do you mean who knew men? Is this thing of age? I guess the age factor, no? Because how is he supposed to know which one had relations? No?
Must have been three and younger.
Three and younger. Well, I guess he just want to get the specifics. Anybody say specifically?
Yeah, Rashi does.
Where?
Yud-Zayin.
Yud-Zayin?
Yeah.
Chalisha does it. Ru'uya, yeah. Ru'uya, Liboel.
Okay.
Achati Shalom Nivala. That's important. And how they know? For the Sneha Tzitz Havirim. They brought them in front of the Tzitz of the coin. Varuya Liboel Panea Moritos. All right, so that was all you say, Nate. He's saying that they, That's interesting. Because what if they didn't have Zia, well, what's the point here? No idea. That is to say, as follows. In other words, I would assume. What did they captured all the women?
Yeah, they captured all the women.
What about the ones that sinned?
Well, they let them all alive. And the Moshe Rabbeinu said that the women who had no men have to get killed.
Now, so if that's the case, no. The ones who had sinned, you have different categories. You have categories of women who are at the age Roy for Bia, but you don't know if they had Bia or not. And then even if they did have Bia, you don't know if they were involved in the sin. We're not saying every woman. Then you have those who are involved in the sin.
Only Cain, it says. Says what?
Says what? Yeah, but his criticism was not because they sinned and they have to be killed. That's for sure. That goes without saying that any woman that was known to have consorted, she's chayav nisa, the snaf musa. That doesn't make sense. I don't know if the Torah records it, and I don't know if any of the first can go into it, but any one of them that was known to be involved in the state definitely has to be killed. And it's just in terms of the violation of the Shev Mitzvah, they know. But Moshe, then what they did was, they didn't kill the women. I guess basically they were the children, younger ones. But then there's different age levels. But again, why didn't you Roy Labia? Let me ask you another thing. Why didn't they put it in front of the tits? Why didn't they just go by an age level? Don't we say like from 3 years and old or something? What age? How are you supposed to know Rui with Ba'el after being called Nivola? What does that mean, Rui? That's a little funny thing here, because you have the same thing by a boy. He's not considered to be Rui Labia until he's about 9. And a girl is considered to be about 3, no?
Yes.
It's considered Bia from the age of 3, no?
Yeah, I think you have to, you learn that, and Rashi says that from by Rivka.
Yeah.
That she married Yitzhak then because she was Roi Labia. Isn't that Rashi?
I think so. Is that physically possible for a girl to be Roi Labia at 3?
Look it up.
Yeah, the Chol Ishi Adas Ishul Mishkam, the Baal Turim again.
What pasuk?
The same one. Igmatria. Aim? I don't know what aim is. Aim? Bashalo Shon V'Yamechad.
Not for the purpose.
The Baal Turim learns that it's 3 years old.
Procreation,
though. Oh, Enjoyment? The Baal Turim.
In Bas Shalosh?
Yeah.
Shalosh Shain V'Yom Echad,
right. You could, like, really hurt the girl.
Because the Gemara neither. That makes sense.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
That's probably.
I don't know. Yeah, we're raising a lot of issues over here. But let's see if we can do some kind of general. I can't go into all the particulars. I would say simply, they didn't save the ones that were actually involved in the case, that's for sure. But the ones that were not, then they just saved. They didn't differentiate. The whole point is, the whole chiddush that, Moshe got angry, but the whole chiddush was that that Moshe told them that they had to kill all the women who were Ruyu Labia. That's it. Ruyu Labia.
They didn't fit for, but they're not fit.
How you define it is not whatever. But the question would be why? Well, what does that do? You know, the ones that weren't are would be you say. The ones that really would be you can't say. Well, why is that the factor? I mean, unless you want to, you know, I don't think it was because of the suffix, because once they were would be it, so maybe they were involved. That sounds strange. Because then according to Rashi would have said that the Sith would point out those who actually participated in the Zeta. That's not what he's saying. Let's focus on that for a minute. Let's just see if we can put something together here. What's that Machlokas? There's a Machlokas. Apparently they didn't see that point. Especially according to the Baal Turim, that means they were 3 years old. So they were 3 years old, so what's the difference in that and 2 years old? Just because now you're royal beer? Unless you, what you mean there was a chashash that they were ready since they were royal beer, so they all must have had beer. Well, what kind of thing is that?
B'nai Yisrael didn't kill any woman, right? Even the ones that were involved in the...
No, I said, I don't think that makes sense. But they didn't kill any women. Those who were known to have participated, I'm sure they killed. In fact, what about the Rashi saying that they brought them in front of the tit? Yeah, but what about the women that were 15 or 20 or 30? They're definitely royal beer. Couple of seconds.
The Rambam says that they left all the women alive.
Yet. Wait,
is
what? Hey, Hena?
The Rambam.
Why did you say you're my hero, son?
The Rambam says it in Mara Alva.
Do we? Oh, Ploni Ba. Yeah, Rashi, where Rambam what?
Mara Alva. The Rambam says that they left all the women alive.
So why did you do that? Lamed Aleph Vav Ramban?
Yeah.
I'm not finding the Ramban. Where's Ramban? Rabbi Yishlach, where is this? He cut off up Kudya Chayel?
Yeah.
He cut off the Pinchot. He has Shem Nash Mosh Pisa Shalom. Where does it say this though?
I have the English. It's on page 358.
I know, was it towards the end?
No, in the very beginning, on page 358, right in the middle.
Hold it. Rakam Elohim Nosei Tzmikmas Hashem B'Midyan. V'chashah Shvo Yashiru B'Hem Sarav Dupalik. Kenikmas Amalek. Or Kenikmas Shiva Amamim. Shiva Amamim. V'chashah Roa Sheshiru Hanashim V'yatav Abahema Katsav Al Hanashim Hayodos Mishkav Zacha.
So it's before that.
Where? Then tell me, please.
I have the English. I can read it to you. It's on page 358 in English.
Well, what's the Vayishlach Hosea Moshe? Read it.
It says, and when therefore when Moses saw that they had spared the women and children and the cattle, he was angry about the fact that they had left alive the women who had had sexual intercourse. Because the officers of the army should have killed them as at the very first thing.
Oh, I'm saying, because they're raw, they're on nothing, they're tough, they're that isn't that the case where a person has bestiality, right? That's one of the arayos where the person is where the person is executed, and you have to kill the behemoth too.
Right.
And the question is, why do you have to kill the behemoth? The behemoth didn't sin. And the answer is because it's associated. It's associated with the sin. But yeah, according to the Ramban, apparently it seems, although he doesn't say it in the Hebrew version, they kept all the women alive. So that's why it was cut off. Yeah, but you see, the problem with that is, you know, if that's the case, so what was the reason? So then it should have been that they should have killed those women that participated. Well, why was that breakdown of the the ones that were royally boiled?
Right.
Ravon is trying to explain why Moshe wasn't upset about everything else.
Yeah, see. Yeah, read. Maybe he's just a pertinent portion.
Rabbi Chevelle on the bottom says.
What? Read it.
Moshe originally did not command them to destroy everything, but only to harass the Midianites as a form of vengeance. Hence, we understand why he was not angry about their sparing the children and spoil, but only about their sparing the grown-up women who had caused the sin.
Yeah, this one also says, Achizim come to Kebuk, Ohoye lechem lachyos, Osan hanashim, Sheikartem, Shoyalem, Vesakava, Vesvaduam. That's what the complaint was, according to him. That makes sense. That they didn't kill the women. That's a hard one. What does it mean that he then instructed them to kill all the women that you die fish? Huh? So which women had to be killed? Just the ones that sinned? Or no, as long as they were royal and Mishka?
Sounds like he commanded both.
Huh?
It sounds like he commanded to kill both.
Well, the plain shot, b'chol isha yodas ish, l'mishkav doesn't necessarily mean roi, it means that yodas, that actually had. But I don't know, I mean, the Balaturim and the Rashi learned that, no, they're roi. You know, you can learn either way. I'll hold it a second.
In other words, if you were 35 and you weren't involved, then you would, according to Ramban, you would be alive.
Well, I guess so. That's what, you know, like that's what I'm trying to figure out. Was okay. It a blanket?
No, I'm saying that's what the machlokes is.
I'm sorry?
That lady is the machlokes.
The machlokes?
According to Rashi in the Baal HaTorah, she would be killed. And according to Ramban, she would be alive.
Yeah, it seems that way. Hold on a second. Uyuli boil off of the Shalonivola. That's clearly what Rashi's saying. That it wasn't just, it's one thing. In other words, they spared all the women, apparently. Okay, you have to say that. They spared all the women. Not sure why. I don't know why they did that. But they spared all the women. So Moshe's abuse makes sense. That, how could you do that? They're the ones that caused the... They were involved in the sin itself. But then, what would flow from that would be, so you have to execute all of those who were involved, or at least suspicious. But Rashi says that Yodas Ish means Roy Labir, even though they were not involved. Now, what's the reason for that? So according to Rashi, the distinction was made between those the girls that were not Roy Labir, they were spared, and once you were Roy Labir, you were killed, regardless. Regardless of whether you participated or not. Engage in World War just because you're oil beer, and why does that make you guilty if you weren't involved? Pursuing or pursuing individually. I would just make one observation here. And I think in a general way it makes sense, the whole thing with the women. I don't know the other side, I can't get into all my clothes here. See, this represents something new. This Torah, that's why it goes back to Torah and Midyanim. The Kisem or something. That means to say that it's not just a physical thing, you know, where you exact revenge. Where you just go out and you defeat them, whatever it is. This is like akin to Amalek, Torah, to harass them, which means to say that, in a sense, it's even worse than Amalek. this is a new phenomenon came into being. Until now, you know, you had enemies of the Jews who tried to defeat the Jews, destroy the Jews, and so on and so forth. Enslave the Jews, you have Paro, everything. But nobody thought of this idea before. This was a new idea, and it's probably the most dangerous idea. And that is to destroy the Jews in a different way, by luring them into a different way of life. Not necessarily, it's true that, I don't mean to say that, I mean that's there, but that is that he understood the strength of the Jews, that the Jews, the whole strength is the protection of God, and God protects them when they keep the Torah, so we'll get them to violate the Torah so they'll be destroyed by God. That's there, but I'm not going to, that also is very complex, because if the person is operating that way, that means that he recognizes that it's true. That, you know, that he recognizes that it's true that God's protecting them. So then, you know, so then how is he going to then try and stand up against that? Whatever. There is that element, but you don't even have to go to that element. And that is to say, it's like the Greeks. The Greeks, they pretty much did the same thing. They tried to get the Jews to give up Judaism. That was their objective, to destroy the Jews, so to speak, spiritually. To prohibit them from keeping the Torah and to force them into idolatry. That was their, so that way they destroyed them, not the Jews anymore. Not because they had this idea, not because they recognized that the Jews are protected by God, and the only way we can get them, we'll manipulate it so that God will punish them. That's not what the Greeks were doing. So, we can interpret this in the same, this was the first instance of that approach. The Rambam in Igeres Teman, which everybody should read, he outlines that the different approaches that anti-Semites have taken, you know, throughout the centuries. Well, there I think he highlights that the Greeks tried to, essentially the Greeks tried to destroy Judaism by trying to show that it's illogical, you know, with logic, with ideas, and so forth. And then the Christians came along and distorted the Torah. But the objective of the Greeks was to destroy the Jews by assimilation, by getting, once they stop keeping the Torah, so they're not Jews anymore, then there's no problem. Now, this is the first instance where people thought to destroy the Jews that way, by getting them to give up their way of life, by getting them to give up the Torah. The only thing, see, what's unique over here is that they utilize the method of the sexual seduction. That is to say, that they gave up their own daughters for harlotry. That they took their own base practices and used that as a means of seducing the Jews. That type of seduction was, you know, the essence over here. They took their own behavior patterns, their own debasement, because, you know, that all the nations of the Canaan, they were steeped in abominations, and they wanted to utilize, those are very powerful forces, and the leaders recognized that, to use those powerful forces as a means of seducing the Jews. So in many ways, that's much more devious than Amalek. Much more devious. And that's why it's thorough. The whole idea over here is to recognize, you know, what the implications of this is. And that there's a vulnerability, a serious vulnerability, and the Jews fell prey to that type of thing. That's the whole purpose of the war. To Tsarar, that's why it's Tsarar and Kisem. To do it in a way which achieves its objective, not just style of punishment, but that goes to the heart of the matter. That, you see, that's the whole idea of a revenge. When you have, there's different ways you can enact justice. You know, you see, like in the Megillah, it's not enough that they killed the sons of Haman, that's why she requested that they hang them after they were dead. because it's not enough. It has to be publicly demonstrated what they're being killed for, because the evil design, what they thought to do, it has to be lain kol. That's the way you achieve the proper nekama. And it's interesting, like, you know, they just killed the two sons of Hussein.
Right, I was just thinking that.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
It's a Yom Tov in its own right. People shouldn't celebrate. You see a whole defect in this society. A whole defect. Even the way they go about this whole war, I mean, the whole weakness of the so-called democracy. You know, even when they're forced to fight, you see how the whole country is really steeped in criticizing. A tremendous amount of criticism against the president. And it's always, what right do we have to do this? You see this ridiculous idea of respect, the distorted idea of respect for other countries and leaders. And there are even those that are criticizing, what right did we have to show the pictures of them? Isn't that a violation? Yeah, because we complain when they show pictures of our captured, or, you know, things of that sort. You see how warped it is. There's no sense that there's a phenomenon of evil, and how do you relate to evil in one way? You can't make comparisons. They're not entitled to any respect. That's the whole point. The doctor, they're not entitled to respect. That's the whole point of it. They should have hung them up on a pole.
But that's not what... That's then what is the...
Because war pretty much means that you've exhausted any civil means, and now you're basically out to destroy. All right, but I mean, I'm not going into the whole thing now.
Well, that has to do with what happened.
You know, you're in a situation where you don't really care, generally speaking. That is to say that, like, you can make laws about governing the use of nuclear and this and that. But a nation that's threatened and it feels going to be destroyed, or else that very situation is one in which you're not really abiding by rules. But all right, I'm not questioning that. But that would be with regard to nations that observe that play according to the rules. But like, this whole concept is absolutely absurd, that we have to treat Al-Qaeda, all these guys, like they're prisoners of war from some level. Because that's our way, we will work by law, even though they don't. That's stupid. Because this whole idea assumes a certain reciprocity. It doesn't go to anybody. But anyways, I'm not getting into that. That's a different discussion. I'm merely saying that the objective of this was the come up. And if you don't do it in a certain way, where they really have to experience the nekama, they have to experience what happens to them, not just some Hitler, Germany escaped. They didn't experience the nekama, they lost the war. But if there was a real vengeance and a righteousness and a mida keneged mida, so then things would have been done, would have been enacted against them, so they would know that what they did to the Jews, this is what you're going to suffer. That, well, look, the Jews weren't in the position to give the nekama, whatever. I'm merely saying that that's not nekama. That you lose a war, so they lost a war. But how you experience it is, nekama is a different concept. Nekama is not just...
Nor is it, they would have made that.
Anybody that belonged to the Nazi Party would have been executed, and it's properly confiscated. Why? Because that the whole thing was part of the apparatus. That's how fun. That's nekama. Then you got to make a point.
Right. Well,
every woman that was involved had to be executed.
Right. No, but Otto Robbins...
Fighting a war.
Right.
Now, I'm just using it to illustrate that there's a concept of nekama. And that was the idea over here. That the tikkun, the machaper, the very fact that the Jews were lured into this was a terrible thing. And the tikkun, the kapara, is through nekama. It can only come about through nekama. But nekama means that you overcome all of your natural resistances, your emotions... of pity, and you put it aside because you recognize the evil. You've got to be like Pinchas. That this is evil, and there's no mercy over here. The failure to do that was what this Moshe was saying. If you leave over the women, that's the way it's going to come up. And what's the whole point? This is an essential component. That any woman that was involved in this thing has to be destroyed. If that's not done, if you're Malama Klus, then you see. That's why by yourself, because you missed the whole point. That I would say, now it makes sense what Rashi is saying. That any person that to indicate that they, that defect, that they utilize this, so to speak, abomination that they have. Their looseness, their whole sexual deprivation. They utilized that, they took that, and utilized that as a means of seducing and destroying Bnei Israel. So that's a verdict. They have to be destroyed. So in order to make that point, it's not necessarily just those that were involved, but anyone that's part of that's wrong to be involved. That's part of the culture. Like you have in America today. I mean, you have a certain attitude towards sexuality. Everything's okay. Everything is okay. So now, okay, I mean, if they can find it in themselves, which is America, you know, each person does do whatever you do your own thing. But if they were to utilize that as a means of seducing and destroying others, and now you're going to take revenge, now you're going to uproot that whole culture. You have to uproot that whole culture. So if you uproot that whole culture, so then it doesn't necessarily have to be only those who participate in it. It's anyone that's part of that group. So Roy Labi, it means you're part of that culture, because once you become Roy Labi, you become subject to that culture. But those, the children who didn't reach that stage yet, they're separate. Then you can spare. That makes the point. That precisely makes the point, by sparing them and killing these. But the whole point over here was that the Chiyuv was kapara. And you don't have kapara until you confront the failure was over here. You didn't recognize this for the evil that it was. And you allowed yourself to be seduced into it. And until you, once you recognize it for the evil that it is, to the extent that it, all other emotions are put aside, and you eradicate it, that's the tikkun, that's the mechaper. But just time to inflict a defeat on them, that's not the objective. Alright.
Rabbi?
What?
You have to wipe out every man, woman, and child and all their property from a Amalek.
Sure. But Amalek is different. Amalek is the whole ideology. The whole ideology itself is a bigger thing. It's an ideology. This was a method. This was just a particular method that they used.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's a whole, that the Amalek represents the ideology of the total denial of God, the glorification of man. So that's something which, on a permanent basis, has to be uprooted. Simcha Zech Amalek. You know, Ein Shmi V'Kifi Sholem. Hachim Chamalek. You know, that kind of thing. Okay, guys. I got you ready anyway.